Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Amen. Good morning, church. Good to be with you. Good to be worshiping the Lord, feeding on His Word, feeding at the table. And in just a minute, Pastor Greg is going to get up and talk to us about discipleship, about how we're being built up in Christ, how every day we're laying another stone, we're building something. Our lives are being built up in Christ. That's what we're on in our series, Church on Purpose. But I have the opportunity to just spend a minute with you and introducing you to a dear friend and a special guest. Some of you will recognize this man standing to my left. If you've been watching some of our videos and paying attention to our relationships around the world, but for some of you, this is a new relationship. So would you just introduce yourself, my friend, and tell us a little bit about your church?
Good morning. My name is Yusuf Samir. I'm the lead pastor of Heliopolis Evangelical Church in Cairo, Egypt. This is my... Thank you. This is my third time to visit First Pres. The first visit was in 2011. And during this visit, we started a very blessed partnership with First Pres. This week, I have attended the annual meeting of Eco Churches in Greenville, South Carolina. And I'm really blessed that we have this partnership with a dear church and a dear brother, Pastor Tim. This year, we celebrated in Cairo, Egypt, our 100 years of ministry in our church. And a team from First Pres, Pastor Tim and some friends, they flew the whole way to Egypt to be with us in this special occasion. So thank you, Pastor Tim.
It was an honor to do that, and it's an honor to have you here with us, wanting to come and visit with us before you travel back home. And it was a very special week because our denominations, the Synod of the Nile and ECO, actually signed a formal declaration of ecclesial partnership. And that sounds like, oh, that's very exciting. But actually, it is very cool because we as a church, we've already been in partnership and ministry as brothers and sisters in Christ, but now our denomination and the entire Synod of the Nile, which is about 400 churches in Egypt, we're united, and we formalized that this week. So it's just a very cool way to say we're one body, we're one church. And Pastor Yusuf, who I've known now since my coming here, we've both been leading our churches about the same amount of time, but to see his ministry, to see the ministry of this church in the heart of Cairo, and to see the change from a nation where Christianity is a minority, and it has been a terribly oppressed minority, to move into a season of openness, where Heliopolis Church is part of planting churches. They've planted a half a dozen churches that I know of, maybe more. They're revitalizing churches. They're opening churches. And they're seeing people come to Christ from all different backgrounds into this church. And it's such an encouragement to us to just be a part of that and to be part of supporting you. And I know we're talking about discipleship. Making disciples of Jesus Christ is challenging in any context, but it's very challenging in your context. And so would you share just maybe one thing that is difficult today about making followers, disciples of Jesus Christ in the heart of Cairo?
Yes, one of the challenges that we are facing to disciple people in Egypt is that many young families, they are just having or experiencing this fear of missing out. So they just want to have all the fun that they can grab in the lives of their children. Maybe they come and worship, whether on Friday or Sunday, but all over the week, I can say that they are digging for themselves fake wells. Worldly wells. They are seeking happiness in other ways other than Jesus Christ. So please pray for these young families.
Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for time with Pastor Yusuf today. We thank you for the friends that are here from Heliopolis Church. We thank you for the relationship that we have in ministry. And we pray for the young and new believers in Cairo. We pray, Jesus, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on them. That as Heliopolis Church continues to find different ways to present your goodness, that they would not dig false wells. They would dig their wells in you, Jesus. That they would know that you are the wellspring of life. That from you is the fountain of life. And that they would see you, Lord, as Lord and as Savior, and put you in the highest place in their lives, and not neglect to miss an opportunity to build another stone, another foundation stone, to build their lives on you. Bless Pastor Yusuf. Protect that church. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that more and more will come to know you and follow you and be saved, that your name would be great here in Colorado Springs, in the heart of Cairo, and to the ends of the earth. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I got to be in South Carolina this past week as well, and just got to see brothers and sisters from not only across the world, but across our country who are all in this denomination with us, and all of us moving forward together was really something exciting to be part of, being part of people, representatives from churches around the country, singing God's praises together in South Carolina was awesome. And so that was really exciting. Another exciting thing, I've just had this story that has been kind of kicking around in my mind over the last few weeks, and I thought it was important to share with you all. This story, it's called The Three Little Pigs, and it's really good, guys. So I'd love to just share this with you, and then maybe go from there. So there was this family with three piglets, and as piglets do, they grew up and went to college, and then decided to start building a life for themselves. And so they went out and built houses. Each one had materials. They went and built their own houses, and the first one built with straw, with hay. And the second one looked at his brother and said, well, that's ridiculous, and decided, I'm gonna build with sticks. And so built a house of sticks, which is very nice. And then we have this third pig, one of the little piglet runt, decided, I'm gonna actually do something different here. I'm gonna build with brick. And so the community they lived in had a big bad wolf problem. They're working on it. But what happened was this big bad wolf came to the house of straw and the pig that lived there. And he knocked on the door and said, little pig, let me in, let me in. And the pig, I mean, just audaciously said, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. And so this wolf, I mean, just understandably is incredibly frustrated and says, I am going to huff, I'm going to puff, I'm going to blow your house down. And that's what he did. And there's two versions to this story. The PG-13 version is the pig was devoured immediately right then and there. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the other version where the pig actually escapes with his life through the crumbled hay and gets to his brother's house, the stick house. And so that's what happens in our version of the story today. And so this pig is in his stick house with his brother pig, and the wolf goes there and knocks and says, let me in, little pig. And the pigs together in unison say, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. Good, you're getting this. And so the wolf, frustrated, I'll huff, I'll puff, I'll blow your house down. That's what he does to the sticks. They all crumble down. It's so sad. And these pigs go running to their brother's house, the brick house. And so the wolf is thinking, this is great. I get three for one tonight. This is going to be awesome. And so he says, hey, let me in, let me in. And the pigs say, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. He huffs, he puffs, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Because this house, this brick house, is just, it's secure, it's stable. I just thought you guys should know about that story. It's really important to me. No, here's the deal, friends. Here's the deal. In the Gospels, Jesus, he uses this image of houses to describe our lives. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he tells this parable about building on sand versus building on rock, and says our lives, there are things that we're building. And inevitably, in our lives, things are going to come along, whether it's the loss of a job, relational breakdown, death of somebody close to us, a diagnosis. And it's going to shake our house. It's going to test the quality of our construction. And if our lives are not built on a firm foundation, if they're not built with quality materials, with care and skilled labor, if they're not maintained, then we're going to fall apart. We're going to blow down. And I share this because this actually, Paul wrote about this in the passage we read earlier. You may not have heard all the huffing and puffing, but really we know in the New Testament that the enemy is called a wolf, and the enemy is called a roaring lion who's out to devour people. And here's what Paul warns us about. He says, by God's grace, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So we see that Paul really likes the second version of our story here today, the one where people move out through. But this is something that we have to wrestle with. How can we avoid this? What must we do? We've been talking about our discipleship pathway. That's our language for the mission that we believe God's called us to here as First Pres in this season. This is language that we've been using. We talked about how in our society, in our community, we have community members. We have people who are far from God, who are not connected in with a worshiping body, people who don't know Jesus. And so our prayer as a congregation is that these people, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, would come to experience something of what we've experienced here at First Pres. And so they become maybe participants. Maybe this is a VBS family or someone who's gone through the grief workshop with us, a preschool family, people who have come through Alpha. This is people who are somehow in the First Pres orbit and kind of around. We can say, yeah, we know them. And then our prayer is that people would move from this place of being a participant. They would catch a glimpse of what God is doing in this community, what kingdom community looks like, what kingdom living looks like, what it looks like to have your life built on Christ. They would catch that and say, I want that. I'm ready. I want to give my life over to Jesus. I acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's a time that we celebrate. And then we recognize that there's another step in our discipleship journey. We want people to move from being worshipers to disciples. Disciples are people who follow a leader. As Christians, we would say that we are disciples of Jesus. We are trying to follow Jesus together. And so the charge today is, friends, don't just worship, follow. Follow him. See, once the foundation has been laid, once we've had our hearts turned towards Christ, once we move from what Pastor Tim said last week, a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light, we start building on that foundation. And again, we know that at some point that structure will be tested. There's going to be a crisis of health, of finances, of relationships. And at that moment, we're going to be focused on what materials have we been building with. It's in those moments that becomes incredibly relevant. In our passage today, Paul says in verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Friends, we're not building shanties. We're not building shacks on the side of the road. We are building a temple. We are a temple. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And we together are a house of God. My wife and I back at least 45 years ago, I think, before kids is maybe what it seems like, we got the chance to go to Europe and spend time in France and Italy. And so in Italy, we went to the Vatican. We saw St. Peter's Basilica. And I mean, this is a beautiful building. According to Google, it took about 110 years to construct. It's magnificent. It's lasting. It's been there. We also got to go to Notre Dame. And I mean, that we went before the fire, but even after the fire, this beautiful building remains. It stood strong throughout the years, and it took 182 years to construct. It's incredible. Meanwhile, we had in our story earlier a couple of lazy pigs, right? And they built with straw and with sticks. Why would they do that? Why? Well, it's because it's cheap, it's quick, it's easy, but it didn't last. We know that building anything that lasts, anything significant, it takes time and intentionality. We could also note that growing anything that will last and be significant, that takes time and intentionality. My neighborhood growing up, we had one of our friends lived in a yard with a bunch of these big, big oak trees. And so we would build forts and tree houses over and over. Each summer, we'd build these tree houses and big oak trees. And you need big oak trees for that. If you try to build a tree house in a little oak tree, a baby oak tree, it falls over and hurts children. And so we needed those big oak trees. On the other end of the spectrum, we have my wife and I, we planted a garden out of COVID. We built those little garden boxes that everybody built during 2020. And so we have had thousands of summer squash that have been produced. That's not an exaggeration, I don't think. They just are constant, these summer squash that just grow up and grow up and grow up and grow up, which is great because I'm very good at making zucchini bread. And so you just can mush them down and then use them in all sorts of things. They're pretty delicate and we're bad gardeners, so we have squirrels and rabbits that eat a lot of this squash as well. We're not too worried about it because they just keep producing. It seems like it takes a day or two and you've got a new fruit that's going. Is it a fruit? I don't know. But not a good gardener. But they're quick and they just kind of come up. And I think maybe you know where I'm going with this. The question on the table is, do you want to be an oak tree, a spiritual oak tree, something that's stable and lasting, formidable and significant? Or do you want to be a spiritual squash? Like, this isn't, I hope it's the first one. I hope it's the first one. And friends, we know that building something lasting, something strong, growing as a disciple, it takes time and energy. It takes a firm foundation, good materials, thoughtful cultivation and intentionality, and a lot of prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to be forming and reforming us. So how do we do this? How do we build? How do we nurture and support growth in our lives? Well, at the heart of that is spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines aren't an end in themselves. They're habits and practices that lead to increased intimacy with the Lord, that equip us to stay at the center of Christ's will. Spiritual disciplines are like weightlifting for an athlete almost. Spiritually speaking, they are like tilling up the soil of our hearts so that we're ready for the Holy Spirit to work on us. And we have two incredibly important disciplines to highlight today. One is gathering for corporate worship. We've talked about how this is our most formative hour of our weeks together. That this is not only a task that we will engage in this life, worship, but actually this is our task for all of eternity. And so we practice now what is to come. We're formed as we come in and engage in the liturgy. We're formed as we have an encounter with the word. And again, we've talked about this multiple times over the last month even. So we're just gonna say, check, we got that, worship. And then the second one is personal time with Jesus. And personal time with Jesus, it involves scripture and prayer. And this is more than just a quick devotional thought. It's more than just kind of knocking out a page of our daily bread or listening to a podcast sermon on the way to work. Those are good things, but personal time with Jesus, it requires prayer and reading scripture for yourself, getting your eyes on an actual Bible and trying to make notes and pray through the text and leave space for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and through you. There's so many different ways to engage with this too. For me, I've spent time where I've had 3, 4, 5 verses at a time where I've just kind of gone through a book very, very slowly over months and months and months and just journaled really slowly through a book. Or I've had seasons where I've done the opposite and said, I'm going to try to go through the New Testament and just read an entire book every day and just go through the New Testament like that, or break some big books up into smaller chunks. There's also a lot of reading plans available. For my wife and I, we're going through these Bible in a Year Bibles that we got. And they're all spliced up, so we just read them straight through. And she reads hers, I read mine, and then throughout the week we get to talk to each other about what's going on in our scripture reading. Whatever form this takes, you've got to get into the Word. You've got to pray and spend time with Jesus. Here at First Pres, we have a myriad of resources available to help you grow more and more into the likeness of Christ and to help us do that together. Again, we regularly say that worship is our first hour. That's the first thing that lands on our calendar. But we have a number of second hour spaces. We have Sunday communities. These are spaces of 20 to 70-ish people. These are our spaces for people to find others kind of like them. It's a medium-sized community instead of this big, big space that we have together here. And in that, for me, I've been part of this group called Base Camp. It's young adults, people in their 20s. Thank you in the back. Woo! Who have been meeting together consistently over the last several years and growing together. If that's you, if that's somebody in your life, encourage them to go there. I'm currently stepping into this community that just started this last semester. That's especially intended for people who are young couples or have infants or elementary kids at home. And so that's another space that meets on the second floor. There's all these communities that'll help you continue to take a step forward. We've got life groups, smaller communities of 6 to 12 people, and these are spaces where people are committed to praying meaningfully for one another, to engage with Scripture and speak Scripture into each other's lives, to try and follow Jesus together. We have Growing Together Wednesday as a place where kids and youth have programming, and for adults, there's maybe a little bit more academic level programming where we dive deep into a book of scripture or into a topic. In each of these spaces, they exist to support your spiritual growth. And once again, the communities and the classes, they're not ends in themselves, but they're like fertilizer to help stimulate your regular personal time in scripture and prayer. If we get too focused on these things, if we focus too heavily on these tools, there's almost even a danger at times. And Pastor Tim can clean up this language next week. But if we're not careful, we can find ourselves getting in a loop or a rut where we just kind of sit and we soak in good content and then we don't do anything with it and we just sour. So we don't want to sit, soak, and sour. We want to sit, soak things in that are good, and then serve and pour that out. And so Tim will talk about that next week. Definitely want to come back to hear about that. So as we wrap up our time, I want to make sure we don't miss this one other piece of our passage. Let's look at verse 18 together. Paul writes, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it's written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or present or future, all are yours, and you are of Christ, and Christ is of God." Paul's instruction is, do not deceive yourselves. We've already spoken in this series about philosophies of the day that are coming in, that press on us from our culture, expressive individualism, hedonism, power and justice, and materialistic naturalism. You can go back and listen to the first two sermons in this series to hear more about those. And those are a factor, but we're also very good at, or very well wired for, self-deception. We're really quick sometimes to think that we're more mature in Christ than we actually are. We can find ourselves thinking that attending worship here and there and memorizing John 3:16, that makes me a disciple. I'm good. But really, that's not enough. If that's it, we think we're building with bricks, but we really just have clumps of straw that we're trying to hold together to build with. And then if we try to do this life alone, we don't discover that until the wolf comes knocking at our front door. And then we're awakened to that unfortunate reality. Now, the antidote to self-deception is Christian community. We need deep relationships with people who have permission, as we heard in the video earlier, permission to speak truth and love into our lives. People who will help hold up a mirror or a magnifying glass so that we're awakened to the vulnerabilities in our lives. I've experienced this myself. In high school, I had a small core group of guys and a mentor that walked with us through those formative years. In college, I gathered a group of people together and said, hey, let's go to Chili's, let's eat chips and salsa every week and talk about what it is to be a college Christian. And gosh, they loved us at that Chili's. We spent $2.99, bottomless chips and salsa, water, and wow, really, they were excited to see us coming each week. And then I would say I've been encouraged and challenged and grown in the Sunday community experience here and my involvement there. And then also in our life group. My wife and I are part of a life group, and so we've been challenged in our perspectives and assumptions and habits by the people in that group. That's what these communities are getting at. That's what these classes and programs are getting at. When we gather with mature followers of Jesus, truth and love can be spoken into our lives. And we can stop fighting against the Holy Spirit who wants to fortify our lives. Other disciples, they help us assess our building materials. And they can help sound the alarm when they notice us attempting to build on anything other than Jesus Christ. And so this morning, how are you building your house? What materials are you using? And who is helping build with you? We can't do this life alone. As we continue in worship, as we continue in personal time with Jesus, I encourage you to step into a Sunday community, to put your hand in the air and say, I would love to help host a life group or dive deeper with us on Wednesday evenings. When the wolf comes to town, when the roaring lion is prowling around looking for someone to devour, when the storms of life blow against your front door, you will be glad that you did. Let's pray together. Lord, our God, our rock and our redeemer, once again, we open ourselves to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would do work in us, that we'd be strengthened and formed more into your likeness. Lord, we trust you. We know that you are good and that you love us. And so we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.